Welcome to episode 165 of Conversation Street. I'm Gemma.
I'm Michael.
And this week we're discussing the episodes broadcast in the UK between the 31st of August and the 2nd of September.
This is the third time we've recorded this introduction. It's been very annoying.
Very annoying.
Because I just got a new laptop yesterday to try and solve podcasting issues because we're running out of space and it is so slow. When we wanted to edit bits of the recording or whatever, you'd press on the play button and then like a minute later it would start to play. So I thought, right, get a new laptop. That'll solve all that problem. We've just tried twice recording on the old laptop and the sound quality was shocking, to say the least, wasn't it?
Terrible.
Sounded like we were speaking with our fingers over our noses. So now we've gone back to the old laptop and I don't know what we're going to do. I'm going to have a little fiddle with the settings the next time. Anyway, it's very annoying, but hopefully
annoying.
We're nice and clear for you today.
But that's fine. We'll just move into Corrie history now, shall we?
Okay.
Yep, it's been 30 years since the first appearance of pensioner Sam Tyndall, who was the third corner of the AOP love triangle with Percy Sugden and Phyllis Pierce, because Sam and Percy loved each other so much that Phyllis couldn't cope.
No. Sam pantsed Phyllis. Phyllis fancied Percy, and it was all very confusing and wrinkly. 25 years ago, Ken moved into the corner shop flat.
10 years ago, Sophie was supposed to start Weatherfield High, but it turned out Sally hadn't registered her for a place.
Well, that was silly, wasn't it,
what Sally? What a silly Sally. In 5 years, and Sophie and Sean left their families when the truth about them being lesbians came out.
Shocking, shocking. And also, happy birthday this week to Sean Gallagher, who played Paul Connor. He's 50 this week, just like Kevin is. So happy birthday to both of them. We had a lot more interesting things to say about it the last two times we recorded it. The moment has passed.
And I've got yoga to go to.
Yeah, so let's move on, shall we? Okay, so just a short street tour this week. It's just three episodes. The card shark Carla is kind of what we're going to start off with, although it's not really that anymore, is it? It's leading up to the revelation about the fire. So kind of back to the Caught on Fire storyline back from, what was it, May time? This is like Caught on Fire rekindled.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah, so we'll have it that for now, Tracy's guilt. And then we'll talk about the Webster Wed's window wash storyline. Not huge dramas, but it's Kevin's birthday this week, so...
How exciting.
Very, very exciting. Losing hope. She's got cancer, Gemma. Can we cope with this?
She's got a type of cancer.
Type of cancer, the woman said. And still haven't made up my mind whether or not Hope's going to make it through this or not. I think we need more details. We'll have to wait and see for that one. Hope she doesn't die. But we'll call it losing hope anyway. Scouts Divided we'll have after that. A little bit more of Lloyd action just on that Monday's episode. And then we've got a couple of other little things with Kathy and Simon that we'll try and remember to mention at the end. So fire stuff first.
Fire.
What was going on Monday?
Well, Aidan's new at the factory. And it's bank holiday on Monday.
Oh, yeah,
so
that's
there should
right.
be no working. But Sally tries to muscle in on Aidan and Carla going in to work together. And she's quite relieved when Carla says she's not allowed because she should have the day off. And then she introduces Tim to Aidan as a window enhancement executive and talks about the fundraiser that's going to be held for Maddie later in the day. And Carla looks very guilty about it, but Aidan says... She might go. What are they raising money for? Maddie what?
Just like...
I
can't
Sophie,
remember.
I don't even remember
what they're raising
Sophie
money for.
Sophie wants a new pair of shoes. So, Tracy comes into the bistro as Sophie is preparing the event. She looks quite guilty and runs off. And then Carla comes in with Michelle, Aidan and Nick, I think.
Yeah, she'd rather not be there, would she?
Well, no, she says to Sophie, would you rather I left? And she says, if you want to make me feel better, then I'm not going to. And then leaves her alone. All the way through this episode, she's so bitchy and horrible to Maddie. I don't understand why she is, because if she wants to blame somebody, why not blame whoever stored explosive materials inside the builder's yard? Because why was that, you know... She really annoys me when characters are cruel to other characters.
It wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for Tracy or Carla in Sophie's mind. So, I mean, it's...
But she's supposed to be a Christian and preach forgiveness.
Yeah.
Anyone else, she'd be like, oh, meh, 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 meh. Yet another inconsistency. I wouldn't mind if there was at least one line in there where she struggled with it. You know, she said to Sally at one point, "I can't help myself. I know I shouldn't, but I blame her and I can't forgive her."
Yeah.
Or just even maybe to Emily or someone. Because
even the Nazirs seem kind of.
They're tolerating her in a kind of, you know, our religion. We shouldn't.
She. I think they kind of understand in a way that it was an accident.
Like, Sophie has no conception of the word.
Yeah, which makes me, it kind of makes me think, like, with Tracy, if it comes out that she did it, which I'm assuming it will, it still was an accident. I mean, Tracy broke into the house, but, I mean, she let the fire burned accidentally. Just the same as it did for Carla. So, I mean, manslaughter? Is it manslaughter that Tracy did it? And it would have been the same as Carla.
Carla didn't get arrested for it, so.
I can't remember whether she did or not. She
never got charged or went through a court case, honey.
No, it didn't, because it was an accident. And the same with Tracy. Does it suddenly become
worse because
she broke into.
Yeah, because she did, didn't she?
Yeah.
It's the same as if you were driving down the road and somebody ran in front of you and you killed them, or you were driving along the road
car.
And then you looked at your phone and then you drove into someone. Do you know what I mean? Because you were committing a crime and then through the negligence of that.
I suppose so.
Do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I don't know how they could say that Tracy did it on purpose or she did it on purpose to I know, but she didn't know Amy was there, did she? That's the thing.
If she keeps saying, "I didn't know Amy was there," she's going to get herself in
trouble. Yeah, if she'd have known that Amy was there,
she needs to go, "Why would I have done it? My daughter was in there." And just keep her bloody mouth shut. She needs to have not told her.
No, I forgot about that.
Anyway.
Anyway.
I'm fed up with Sophie not being Christian.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, she seems like she's a Christian when it's going to be the most irritating and isn't when it would also be the most irritating. I know everyone is inconsistent, but it does kind of annoy me that Sophie is a really terrible Christian.
Sophie is consistently terrible, that's her problem.
The only other person who's screwed up their religion quite as much as she has is Alia. And Alia is absolutely in bits about it and feels terrible and has suffered terrible consequences. Mm. And the rest of the Nazirs are just very, you know, get on with it. And you don't hear very much, you know, when they have a festival or something, you hear about it.
Yeah.
I'm just sick of
Right, let's talk about this.
It just really annoys me when she was horrible and bitchy.
Oh, I know, totally.
And she's horrible when Sally later in the week as well.
Yeah, about Kevin. So there was this Lorraine Kelly photo, wasn't it? That's where she was at her worst.
And this was a product placement, because did you know that you can buy Lorraine Kelly photographs for £200 each on the ITV store?
No, you can't, can
no,
you?
No, you can't. But
I don't know whether Lorraine Kelly knew that she was going to be on it, because I saw on Twitter she posted that it made her night the fact that she was in it, but I thought it was hilarious that everyone was going on about how amazing or not amazing the Lorraine Kelly photo was.
Yes, because unless you didn't notice, and well, if you didn't know, the event is an auction.
An auction to raise money for Sophie's new pair of shoes.
Yeah, so people have donated various things, and somebody has donated a signed photo of Lorraine Kelly, who
is
a Scottish breakfast host.
Well-loved.
She is very bubbly, isn't she?
Yeah, but I wouldn't pay that much for a signed photo of her, I'm afraid. Anyway, Carla.
Carla's drunk.
Yeah, she's totally drunk by then and bets £200 on this photo.
Well, because Tracy's there and she can't believe Carla's there, and Azir's are there as well, and it's very awkward.
And Carla just wants desperately to try and
make it up.
Like when didn't she offer £200 for all of Maddie's? No, Tracy offered £200 for Maddie's stuff that she brought into the booth.
So Carla's bidding on this photo, and Sharif is kind of has his nose put out of joint that this woman is upstaging him to give money to someone who lost their life in the same fire. It kind of like almost a tribute to Cal as well, even though it isn't. It's like a tribute to the victims of the fire.
Yeah.
So he gets annoyed when he can't outbid her for £200.
I can imagine Sharif having a bit of a thing for Lorraine Kelly, though, to be honest.
Yeah. Sophie dumps the photo.
Like, Yasmin wouldn't understand when he didn't outbid the £200.
Yeah. Sophie dumps the photo on the table very ungraciously to Carla. And Aidan gets annoyed because it looks as though Carla's going through the petty cash to pay for it because she doesn't have any money.
No.
Robert's watching Tracy looking sad. at this, and this is him in detective mode. And I'm quite impressed, because usually it takes more than 3 days for a character to work something of
Nobody else has noticed, and they've known Tracy for ages, and Robert's only been back 5 minutes, and he's already got her sussed.
Yep. Now, Sharif also tries to bid for a county shirt, and then Robert starts outbidding him, and then Aiden starts in, so it's Robert versus Aiden.
Yeah, back to them.
And they outbid each other, and then it turns out that Aiden wins, and it turns out that Robin doesn't even like County, and he only did it to annoy Aiden, because they've got this little feud going on for some reason.
I thought it was interesting what a difference it was how Sophie treated Aiden, considering that he's like Carla's... Yeah, exactly, like best mates. You would have thought that he'd have been guilty association.
That's how I roll. If you're friends with my enemy, you're my enemy.
Exactly, but Sophie's like, no, here you go, well done Aiden, thanks very much. So Carla gets up and stumbles around, and then she's like trying to continue her charitable actions by giving off this photo that obviously she doesn't want.
She thinks
this photo,
because she had to bid so high for it, she thinks it's obviously everyone really wanted this photo, and she's like, please take it, no, please have it.
And Tracy's like, look, Carla, let's just go. You're obviously drunk. You're upset about this. And again, Robert's wondering what's going on there.
I wonder whether this rivalry between Aiden and Robert is going to have anything to do with the fire, because Aiden is Carla's closest... Well, he's a close friend to her now. And Robert is trying to... He's almost on Carla's side, even though he's...
Supposed to be on Tracy's side.
Anyway, we'll get to that later. Robert is pretty unsympathetic towards Carla, and so is Sophie, because he's like, well, she's the one that started the fire, isn't she? And Sophie's like, meh. Tracy's getting really distressed and tells Robert that Carla thinks that she did kill Maddie and Cal.
Yeah, which is an interesting turn of phrase.
Robert just thought she was a drunken fool, I think. He didn't know why she was
I thought it was interesting how Tracy said Carla thinks she killed them, which to me is like, I know she didn't kill them. I don't think that she killed them. Because, if anyone else would have said Carla's guilty because she killed Maddie or Carol, because she lit the fire or something. So she's kind of letting it slip a little bit, doesn't she? That she knows more than she's letting on.
Or is it just that she is so... her defense mechanism that's getting her through the night is it was an accident, it doesn't matter who started it was an accident. But it was an accident. She's trying to offload the guilt by concentrating on that aspect.
Because Tracy obviously thinks it's an accident, but also she is obviously guilty because she thinks that she killed them as well, but she knows it was an accident maybe more than Carla does or something. I don't know.
I don't know what's going through her mind. She doesn't seem guilty about killing Cal and Maddie. She seems guilty about what it's doing to Carla.
Yeah, she is. She is obviously guilty about Maddie, like when she paid all that money to Sophie for a box of rubbish.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But she is completely guilty about the effect it's having on Carla, because earlier on in the year they'd kind of been friends
hadn't
they?
Carla helped her out, so...
Yeah, yeah. So they try and take Carla home, but she's obviously very drunk about this.
Carla's saying, oh, I'm sorry, Sophie.
Yeah. Back at home at number one, Robert comes back and he's like, right, what's going on, Tracy? Why are you so upset for Carla? What aren't you telling me? And I did wonder whether the confession was going to come then, but they did manage to string it out a little bit, didn't they? Because it's another fake-out cliffhanger. Trace says, just got on my nerves that nobody's moving on from the fire, which is similar to what she said last week, wasn't it? She just wants everyone to forget about it.
Yeah.
No, not going to happen yet.
I would too if I set people on fire.
I don't buy it. You show pity towards Carla. I know you. This isn't like you. What's the matter with this? So he doesn't let it rest, which was good for a fake out, that he was like, no, I'm not fooled by this. Meanwhile, Carla's pouring herself another drink at the flat and saying to Nick and that Maddie and Carla are dead because of me. So they take the drink off her and they calm her down, and good old Nick, the new boyfriend, is able to calm her down a little bit.
Oh, he's so wonderful.
And he's so lovely, exactly. So back at number one, Robert's saying, look, you can trust me, whatever's bothering you. And Tracy is like, no, you're going to leave me, everyone's going to leave me. I might trust you now, but eventually this truth's going to come out, so I can't tell her. So, the way she's speaking towards him, he didn't almost need to be told, did he? Which is why he then... at the end of the episode, he goes off, because she hasn't said it, but it's very clear that to him that she was involved in this fire, and it's not necessarily Carla's fault. But he was able to escape for a bit because Amy comes in. And then over at the flat again, Michelle comes in and finds that Carla's not there. She's strolling down the street, swigging from a bottle. Luckily, Michelle and Nick, is it, see her both at the same time, because she's hammering on the Nazirs, saying, come and get me, because she just wants, again, she wants to be punished.
She'll be punished for it.
I don't know what she was expecting to happen, but I mean, she's so...
She shouted at.
So drunk that, I mean, she doesn't really, not really thinking, is she? So she heads off towards the Rovers, complete with wobbly action cam.
I shout at her for throwing a bottle.
Oh yeah, she threw the bottle into that bush, didn't she?
It's not very nice.
So she heads over to the Rovers. They try and stop her from going in there. So she like turns then to number one. So she's now saying, Amy, I'm so sorry. Because obviously she was up there as well. She thinks that she nearly called Amy. So
killed Amy.
What did I say?
Killed
Amy, exactly. I felt so bad for Carla. She was sort of drunkenly saying, oh, I'm so sorry.
I killed people, I can't bear it.
I nearly killed you, I'm so sorry.
No, she said I killed people. Yeah, I
nearly killed you, Amy,
Tracy,
as well.
She says, you didn't kill it, it was an accident. Well, she says, you didn't kill those people. It was an accident.
Whatever happens, it's an accident.
Robert steps in and says, look at Carla, she needs to know. And then Carla gets dragged away by Nick and Michelle, and Tracy runs inside.
Did anybody react to the fact that he was saying, look, tell Carla... Well, he was like basically saying, tell Carla the truth, or...
Yeah, but like, he hadn't even worked it out at this point.
I think he kind of had, that's the thing. Well, like I was saying earlier, Tracy didn't need to say it. He knew that something was up, but Michelle and Nick didn't seem to pick up on the fact that Robert was trying to...
They had other things to worry about.
...to coax Tracy into saying something. So Michelle and Nick later decided that Carla needs a bit of tough love, and... She doesn't particularly get it later on in the week, does she?
Not really. If tough love means bringing someone a bacon sandwich and a bottle of orange juice and accidentally leaving your wallet on the side so they can use it to do some gambling
quite
online,
nice, though, isn't it?
Commit some fraud.
And then the episode ended with Robert packing his bags to leave because he just doesn't know if he can trust Tracy anymore. He kind of knows the truth, but he almost doesn't want to hear it now, I think. So he says, look, did you set the fire? He asks her straight. She denies it, but... He's like, I know that Carla's innocent, and leaves.
Yeah.
But not for long.
Not for long, no, because on Wednesday, Tracy is mooching around the kitchen. Amy's trying to impress her with her new uniform because she's got her first day at Welling High School.
Looks so smart
and
grown up.
Tracy's like, I don't care. I didn't sleep. And then she opens
I like it how Amy was like, what is it? Man problems.
I know. Blanche coming through again there. Yeah. So she answers the door to Robert, drags him inside, and they have a chat. This is when... we cut to Carla having her hangover and Nick bringing food and then leaving his wallet behind, and she takes his card out of the wallet and looks at it.
Which is another interesting twist.
Interesting.
Who else can she milk dry for this money?
This is good. I like it. Actually shocked me. I was like, oh!
Do you think that he was forgive her for it, or understand? Because, I mean, we didn't see what she did with it, did we, that episode?
Maybe she's like, I really fancy some KFC.
I think... I don't know. I mean, we don't know how much money Nick's got. I mean, Is it going to go so far as to bankrupt the bits? The
what
bistro,
would you do?
Or...
What would you do if your friend was in trouble and then they did that to your bank account and took all of your money? You'd have to, if you wanted it back, you'd have to press charges.
This is like your story about the souvenir checks that you're reading about on the internet the other day. You want to tell that little story?
It's silly. It's really long though. Well, if you want to get into it, it's long. Well, it was
a silly person on the internet, a little child.
He wasn't a child, he's 15 years old.
Was he 15?
Old.
Yeah, he said. Somebody on Reddit was saying that he was going on a school trip and his mum gave him a checkbook and he didn't understand.
And they had $1,000 in the account.
Yeah, and he basically wrote a load of checks to his friends, like souvenir checks, he called them. And he's like, just don't cash them. And they did.
And then I think the parents had to pay out a lot more and he still didn't get it at the end.
Yeah, so maybe Gail's going to come round after Carla and say, yeah, they don't know
my
boss money. So Carla and Nick haven't been going out long enough. I mean, for him to say, it's okay, I forgive you because you're my partner and I trust you eternally or whatever, I mean... If I was Nick, I'd probably run a mile.
It's really
after I'd got my money back.
I know, but how is he going to get his money back? She doesn't have any money.
Mm.
The only way to get your money back would be to dob her into the police.
Yeah.
If she pushes it far enough, he won't have any choice. That would be interesting.
Mm.
Wouldn't it?
Because
he would literally be forced to, because he would then have to say, I have to take you to court. I have to get this money back. I have to report this to the police because I've got a business to run and everybody in the business is going to be out of work if I can't pay them.
Interesting.
So that was that little bit. And then we have Tracy telling
confession.
Robert. Go on then.
Yeah, no, that it came a bit quick. came a bit quicker than I thought. Just, I mean, I thought it was going to happen on Monday, but then when he went off, I thought she was going to keep it a secret for a bit longer, but she basically says what happened and obviously sort of feeling very guilty about it.
Well,
I lit the candle.
I lit a candle and I left it. I wanted to kill, well, I wanted to do something to her, but I didn't. And she says, he says, were you planning, you know, what were you planning to do? And she says, no, of course I wasn't going to kill her. I would never do that again.
But she was, wasn't
that
she?
Was
she
a joke. She would never do it again. Oh. Well,
she had the statue, didn't she?
Yeah,
so
she
did
going,
mean to.
Yeah.
So she's not being.
Does she not say? Oh no, she just said I didn't know that Amy was there.
Hmm.
And she says, right. She says to him, you know, I didn't mean to. I wasn't going to kill her. Do you believe me? And he says, yes. But now you have to go and tell her that it was you that did it.
Hmm.
And she says, no way she'll tell the police, and who knows what who else she'll tell. And there's nothing linking me to the crime anyway, so there's no need for me to confess. And Robert says, well, if there's nothing that links you, then you don't need to worry about it. Just tell her.
So she's not worried about it.
In a way, I kind of hope that she does, and it's the end of it. Of course it won't be. But I could have imagined
imagine the
this
way
story
that we lifted off your mind.
I
that
could have imagined the storyline ending in quite undramatic fashion if they didn't want it to be the focus. You know, sometimes they sort of tie the loose ends up, but they're bored of it as well.
Yeah, and then Carla gets better.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but no.
But no.
Do you think it's going to be Tracy that tells Carla, or is
maybe Robert will sort of splurt it out?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe because he obviously wants her to know. He feels.
I wonder why.
He feels bad for Carla.
Is he going to have some kind of secret past, just like Jenny Bradley, where he also was accused of setting a fire?
No, he's just an honest bloke, that's all it is.
He can't be that nice, otherwise he would have gone out with Tracy in the first place. Mm-hmm.
That's very true. True.
Everyone who is anything to do with Tracy is tainted by association, in my opinion.
Well, we'll have to wait for a bit longer to find out what happens with that, won't we? Ramping up with something quite exciting, I think.
What's next?
Sally stuff next. Sally and Kevin stuff. So,
yeah.
Comedy Sally on Monday. Comedy wedding dress shenanigans. So she's bought herself this designer wedding dress in town that she on a whim, and she's all pleased with herself because it's so
expensive and virtually designer.
Yes, exactly.
God knows how much.
Did you like
cost.
The dress?
No, I didn't.
I didn't think it looked very nice actually either.
It looked quite medieval though. It didn't really flatter her. I think she's got a good enough figure that she could have got away with something that didn't just come out from the. Bust, like an empire line.
Oh, I don't know.
It's very Regency style.
Okay. She just decides to try it on because it's so exciting. But she can't get the zip down. She's on her own at home at the moment, isn't it? And this is when the...
You're supposed to put a coat hanger. Supposed to put a coat hanger through the zip.
She's supposed to be at the auction at the moment, isn't she?
Supporting
she's,
her daughter.
She gets stuck and then Kevin comes in. And he's quite funny because about how he's laughing about it, and it's nice that they have this relationship, but we obviously know that there was that kiss as well earlier.
There's
but
a little frisson.
It's nice that he can kind of make fun of her, and it's funny to see him being taken down a peg or two yet again. Sophie walks in, glaring her head off. Obviously, she's obviously. I mean, the cliffhanger there is, what's my dad doing here, taking my mum's dress down, and that's kind of. Pushed under the carpet a little bit, isn't it?
Because what you
find out
immediately realise what was going on.
Yeah.
But she's most annoyed that Sally didn't turn up to the auction.
Yeah.
So Sally, after the break, gets fed up and tells Kevin to just yank the zip, and he does, and somehow manages, using his man strength, to rip it off completely. And so he's like, oh, it's a bad omen about the wedding. Runs upstairs.
I don't know why Sally would say that. I wouldn't put her as a particularly superstitious
type. But then
people
get funny about weddings, don't they? They start coming out with all this random weird stuff that you've never heard before in your life.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway. Tim comes home later and Sally's there all really annoyed, and he finds the zip between the cushions of the sofa by accident. And she grabs it and then admits what's happened and says, oh, this wedding's going to be a disaster. She gives him a hug, and then she finds out that although he said he was working, he actually went to a football match.
He's been a bit rubbish, hasn't he?
He has been a bit rubbish.
Funding this wedding, or not funding it.
He was supposed to be working, but he went to this football.
Yeah, and then he kind of says, look, don't worry about the silly superstition, it doesn't mean anything. But I mean, they're down on probably a lot of money now after this wedding dress has been ripped. So, did she say whether she was going to get a new one or whether
Kevin
was going to get it
fixed?
Kevin
said he was going to fix it for her, but it's...
See, this is where Hayley would come in useful, isn't it? She was always doing it people's wedding dresses.
Exactly.
No more. I suppose it's Sinead or something, possibly. But anyway, and then the conversation turns once Kevin's out of the way. Oh, no, Kevin's not here at this point, is he?
Kevin's
but
gone.
It's
all
his
gone.
50th birthday tomorrow.
Yep.
And they should have a surprise party.
Well, Tim wants to have a surprise party, and Sally doesn't think that they should. So on Wednesday, Sophie and Tim are around Kevin's house, and they are having the absolute time of their lives. I've never seen anyone so happy
crumpet
to
with
be
a candle
someone else's
in.
Birthday.
I know.
Kevin, Tim comes in with this hideous bracelet that he's bought him, and
is it the sort of thing that you could see Tim wearing?
I don't know.
Because he doesn't even strike me as the.
I know, but
the jewellery
type, really,
I don't know.
I don't really like
it's this horrible chunky gold garish thing, and obviously that's the joke because Kevin thinks it's awful as well, but he doesn't tell Tim that.
No, he doesn't.
Tim doesn't really read the obvious signs that Kevin doesn't
like. He can't
read
it. Michael.
Oh, yeah, can't read books, he can't read obvious signs.
Kevin wants to have a quiet night in, but Tim says to Sophie he's going to be in for a shock.
I want to know what the ratio of surprise parties to non-surprise parties is in Coronation Street, because it seems that whenever anyone has a birthday party at this programme, they never know about it.
I would hate a surprise party, but I've always wanted one.
Oh, what a conundrum.
It would have to be completely perfect in every way, otherwise I'd be very irritated. And I'd get really upset that everyone had a secret that I wasn't involved in, because I can't stand to be left out of things.
I know, I couldn't do it, and I wouldn't like it either.
No, you wouldn't like it. I said to you had to have a party for your birthday, and you were disappointed, weren't you?
I don't like it,
but I make you have one anyway.
I know, because you like making all the food and stuff, don't you?
I want to make you sociable.
I know.
You can't be a hermit. Or
it'll work one day.
So Tim is trying to sort the do out with Sally, who thinks it's not a good idea either. And then she gets annoyed because he's obviously spent a bit of money on this wristlet that Mary calls it.
As well as this football thing. The football match that you went to the other day as well.
Mary invites herself to Kevin's party in the cabin where Rita, Sally and Mary are all discussing it. Then Kevin walks in and Mary and Rita have to change the subject really quickly.
I thought it was funny because Mary was so awful at changing the subject. What was it
she's
saying?
Talking
about
draft excluders.
Oh yeah, and then Rita just does it perfectly. Oh, is it your birthday coming up, Kevin? Oh, Sally, why didn't you tell me? It's like Rita is a pro at covering up secrets. And
her hair is made of lies.
And then she says, oh, what about you and Tim with your bromance? And
Mary's like,
a
oh,
or
congratulations. It was a really silly joke.
It was a little bit.
It could have. I don't know if it could have.
I don't know whether it could
actually.
Have worked.
But Sally's like, no, they're just good friends. Ha ha ha. Tim comes around later to see Kevin's bracelet and he says, oh, I'm so excited about your birthday. I've taken the day off work. It's so adorable.
It's like Tim's never had a friend before.
It is a bit like that.
We know
isn't
he
it?
Has because his friends helped him to find Faye.
That's true. Yeah.
He dumped
maybe
him. He doesn't need him anymore.
Maybe
he used him and dumped him.
Maybe that friend was just a dodgy bloke at the library who was helping a fellow. Scary kiddie fiddler.
Could have been, actually.
I think they should look into that. It's very suspicious.
They had that other stupid line. Well, Kevin decides he wants to go to Bolton, and then Tim's like, oh, do you like the bracelet, Kevin? And he's like, no. He's like, that's a bit harsh. And then I love it. I think, oh, God. Anyway.
Funny.
I wonder if this bracelet's going to have any meaning, or whether it's going to be involved in, like, Kevin discovering about... I mean, Tim discovering about Sally and Kevin's kiss, or I don't know,
oh, I
it's,
don't
whether
know.
It's going to have some kind of significance.
Like, he goes, like, Kevin and Sally rekindle their romance, and then he finds
the
bracelet.
Oh, yeah,
bracelet
down the back
of
the sofa or
something. Or
something
like
oh,
that.
That could be happening. That could be possible.
So, there, Sophie and Sally and Tim are all getting ready. I think it's Tim there. No, it's Rita.
Yeah.
In the house, and Sophie's pointedly asking Sally when she's going to set the date for the marriage.
Mm.
And so Sally's glaring at her and Sophie's glaring right back because she's just horrible.
I think it's happening soon, though.
Well,
but
she says there isn't
a
date,
so...
I thought they hadn't set a date.
I don't know, I think it...
Well, they haven't set a date,
okay.
Michael.
Okay. But I thought they said they were wanting to marry soon, but I don't.
All right.
Anyway. And then the last thing we see is Sally dragging this trolley, which is quite funny because everyone reckons she's stolen it, but she's got all these brilliant, lovely foods because it seems that half the street's been invited to this now, including Kirk and Gary. And this is when Tim chooses to reveal to Sally that Kevin has actually gone to Bolton.
He's gone to Bolton?
Yes, to do mechanics things.
To
and,
pick
up
a part.
Is he going to be back in time?
I don't know, but the Volavants won't last, Michael.
I know, and Rita doesn't like a soggy Volavant.
No, one does. That's that
So that's going to be
storyline.
the Thursday thing, isn't it? Which will be for next episode for us. What coming next? What
Oh,
are we
so many
talking?
cliffhangers. Right, hope. Hope. Hope.
Hope. Losing hope.
Oh, God.
So she's having her scan on Monday, isn't she? She goes to the hospital and Fizz and Tyrone are still obviously trying to keep it a secret what's going on. So she snaps at Maria and Maria takes this very personally.
Maria always demands.
I just
like
wanted to stick my nose in Fizz.
She seems like she wants a written apology every time somebody tells her to do one.
Mm.
Doesn't she? She gets so upset when people... Most people on Crisis Street reach everybody.
I know, she gets super offended.
She does get offended.
Fizz also gets stressed at Ruby when they're in the hospital, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Because she's just focused on Hope, who is the one that is her daughter, isn't she? So she has it, and the results are going to be out in a couple of days. And then Maria later sees Fizz in the street, and Fizz reveals why she's so upset. So Maria is in on the secret, although... But she wasn't in today's episode at all, was she, Maria?
No, she just was really there to be a shoulder to cry on and sort of drive a bit of a wedge between Tyrone and Fizz because Tyrone didn't want anyone to say anything and anyone to find out. And he gets his nose put out a bit out of joint when Fizz says she wanted to tell her for somebody to talk to. And he says, you can talk to me. Why do you need to talk to her?
I suppose at the end of the day, it is Fizz's secret to tell or keep and it's not Tyrone's, is it?
Well, it really does depend on whether they're my kid, your kid, or our kids, doesn't it? Because you can't have, you know, we're a family, and then, but it's my child, make a decision.
When Fizz was snapping at Ruby on the first episode on Monday, you could almost get a sense of, get your child out of here, Tyrone.
I know, it's bad. I hope that doesn't happen.
Mm.
So anyway, she's very upset also that Hope's going to miss her first day at school and she gets quite overwhelmed and has to go and have a bath.
Yeah, she can't cope. She can't talk to Tyrone for some reason. I don't really understand why she can't talk to him.
Because he's involved in it too and maybe she's scared of saying what she really thinks might happen.
Because
it's going to upset him too.
Yeah.
She wants someone who's not involved, who she can speak to and not worry about them as well. Because when you're going through something with someone else... Yeah, they've got the same perspective as you, and so maybe you can discuss those things. But at the same time, you just work each other into a hysteria if you're not careful. You need someone a bit removed from the situation to be able to...
Well, Maria's in that role now, isn't she?
Oh, good.
So Wednesday, that was when they're going to the hospital, and Hope's looking a bit sad because she can't find her Mr. Teddy Bear. Fizz must have been waiting forever to go in because first she and Tyrone and Hope go there.
Go to the hospital.
And then before they even go in, Tyrone goes back to takes Hope back to the street because Fizz has got it convinced that it's all going to be fine at this point, hasn't she? Or she's trying to.
And also Chesney
that's what
phones
she's saying
up
anyway.
And says he's found the teddy. So they go back to get it. And then they go to get
his face
Hope's
painting.
Face painted as a lion by Mary at the community centre. Then Tyrone looks very uncomfortable and he goes back to the hospital, leaving Hope at the community centre with Roy. And Fizz is still waiting.
This time, he's managed to go on.
I mean, I know the NHS is stretched to a point, but this is silly. And really, Fizz should have gone in there and go, oh, where's your... I want a complaint form.
Yeah. So Tyrone gets there just in time, doesn't he? And was it the woman there, the consultant now, whoever it
doctor.
Is? Dr. Fizz is
well,
like
Fizz
saying,
goes,
it's going to be good news, isn't it?
I knew it would be good news. And she says, no, not really. Hope has a type of childhood cancer because we thought the ratings went really well the last time we did cancer storyline.
and we haven't done a child cancer yet.
And you have got two children and they're kind of dull. So we thought we'd kill one off.
Was it that? Did she say we think she's got a type of childhood cancer? I mean, I know we can take it as read that she does have it, but I can't remember whether it was absolutely 100% confirmed because they said we found a mass in her stomach, haven't we?
I don't know. Have they sort of done their proper research on this? And are we going to get
I think they have.
Blow by blow. I mean, let's all live through this.
There's been reports of child cancer services sort of congratulating them on highlighting the story and other parents who've had children with similar conditions have said, oh, well done for tackling it. So I think we will be going through all of that. But I hope that it's not going to drive too much of a wedge between Tyrone and Fizz. It's not looking good. But I do hope we keep Hope because, like I said before, I think she's lovely. I think she's very sweet.
I wish
she looks so cute as a tiger today.
A swift death. because I hate this storyline, and I really do think that is the end for her, and I don't want to watch any more scenes. They just go back to the community centre and Roy says, she just killed Ava, I don't know what happened. And they can say, we do.
They're probably going to be leaving it until like the anniversary of Hayley's death or something, aren't they? For the January ratings before the Soap Award nomination.
Can't people have something different? Why does it always have to be cancer?
Well, people understand what that is, don't they? Anyway, let's move on from that. There'll be lots more to talk about that.
I don't want to talk about it anymore. It happens. You can do all the discussions because I'm just going to get myself in trouble.
Okay. Oh, right, Scouse divided a little bit on Monday with that. So, Andrea...
Well, Andrea's still upset.
She stayed at the night with Eileen,
didn't
she?
As we know, she found out that Liz and Lloyd had slept with each other, and she wanted to make up with Lloyd after stealing his record and then brought him a new one and expected everything to be back to normal. So she's having to stay with Eileen, and she's still very upset about this because Eileen's got a spare bed and she can't bear for it to be empty. Jason's in the hospital.
Is it? She's sleeping in Jason's bed, is she? Yeah.
Well, she said you can stay till Jason comes back.
Yeah, okay.
And Eileen just cannot bear to not have maximum capacity.
Yeah.
So Liz and Lloyd have a little bit of an awkward meeting in the street, and Liz asks him out for a meal, and then Andrea sees, and
she happens to be walking along, doesn't she? And then she gets upset.
And Liz says, I want to go and say sorry to her, but Lloyd says you should just leave it alone. And then later in the pub, Eileen tells Lloyd not to lead Liz off the up the garden path because she's having to deal with Andrea. You know, and it's just a bad fallout, isn't it?
And you can tell that Lloyd still obviously does have feelings for Andrea because he was very distracted in the bistro later, wasn't he? He wasn't really listening to her waffling on about whatever. He's being a pretty bad date, to be honest, and he doesn't think... Because last week, his problem was that Liz seemed to be taking it too far and she wanted to rekindle these flames of the past, and he eventually says, look, not interested in a relationship right now. And she says, oh, nor do I, which seems to come out of nowhere because the way she'd been acting before made it look like she really was interested in it. But it's fine, things lighten up and they agree that they'll just be
I don't remember them saying that. You've written they're going to be bonk buddies, but I don't remember them saying that.
They were talking about chocolate mousses and she was like, oh, I like chocolate mousse, oh, you can have some of my chocolate mousse and I'll have some of your chocolate mousse. And
see, I read that as actual chocolate mousse.
It was metaphors, and I think that that's what they were saying.
Wow, you read into it.
Yeah, so they're going to stay for the fun. But
really? Are you sure?
I think that's what it was. Well, that's what it was.
It's bad news for Andrea then, isn't it?
Poor Andrea. They'll get back together. I'm sure they
will.
And then we just had a bit today with Kathy. She's gone home.
Well, Kathy went home to see if she liked it, and she did. So she says, I'm going to tell Roy I'm moving out, Gary. And Gary says, oh, that's interesting.
No more comedy odd couple scenes with her. With those two in the flat then.
Well, she says she feels like she's in the way, and Gary's like, I'm sure you're not. It's like, she obviously is a bit. And she's completely on cloud nine, she says, about the fact that she is comfortable in her own home, which is kind of sad, really.
I know.
After the death of her husband, she finally feels like she can go home again.
Yeah, it's nice to see her still being positive after last week.
A nice end. If she left now, that would be a nice end for her story. I don't know if she's going to live, but I kind of always just envisioned this as a cameo.
So do I, but...
It's going on a bit long, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know how long she's staying in the for, but... Like I said before, I would not mind. I'm open to a relationship between Roy and Kathy.
But I feel a bit sad that a lot of people don't like her, so I don't really want to stay if people don't like her.
I know.
Because
there seems to be such a split between them, doesn't it? Between fan listeners and other fans that we've seen on the internet. Some people think she's brilliant and others just cannot get on with her for whatever reason.
Just can't stand her at all. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
They just can't stand... If you don't like her, you hate
her. It's not so often that kind of... divisive
polarizing
opinion comes, apart from like most people like Leanne, apart from you.
Really? Do people like Leanne?
Yeah, they do. Speaking of which, they had a couple of scenes, her and Simon, because he's gone back to school and comes back at lunchtime demanding a new phone, because all of his friends have got one.
Wow.
And rather than saying,
if all your friends jumped off the bridge, would you follow them, Simon? That's what you're supposed to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
She says, if you stop beating me
up, you can have a new phone. And he's like, oh, I'll do it 110%. I'll do all my chores, ma'am.
Yeah, exactly.
She should be like, if we don't have any more incidents, then I'll get you one for Christmas or something.
Yeah,
she should have said.
She
just spoils him, which is going to make him think that he's on top even more. And he's got
a
wrap around his
really.
Little finger.
It is her.
She's just desperate
herself.
To cling on to him. Yes,
She's
I mean,
going to be so sad when he grows up and leaves. But what's she going to do with her life?
Oh, I'll go back to Nick, probably.
Oh, Nick, leave that horrible Carla witch. She's bled you dry.
So, character of the week, I'm kind of erring between Carla and Tim, I think, because I enjoyed Carla at the auction on Monday, just because he was quite funny with the drunkenness, but I shouldn't laugh at her misfortune. Mm. And then Tim was just funny about how chummy he is towards Kevin.
I
just
like
their little bromance thing.
I liked him saying, "I took the day off work because it's your birthday and I'm so excited." Mm. I wish someone else would be excited about my birthday.
So should we say Tim as our character of the week? Well, speaking of which, should we talk about him now and our character profile? No, we are going to, really.
Oh.
Right, our character profile this week is Tim. We've seen a little bit of Tim on our screens this week. What were the... imminent wedding to Sally coming up, and he's in Coronation Street a few years now, so we've got enough stuff to talk about him for character profile, but it might just be a little mini one.
He was born on the 28th of January 1972. Makes him 10 years older than me.
Oh yeah.
He's got one daughter, Faye Windass, who was born in 2002, and he first appeared on the 21st of January 2013 in around 2,070 episodes.
I don't think that's right. I think that should say 207 episodes that he's been in.
Okay,
or 270.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like a lot.
Oh, I don't know how many it is now.
It's more than three. He's played by
Joe Duttine plays Tim. We saw him in Life on Mars, didn't we?
He was in
his
pre-Corrie
days. Been in a few things, and now he's on Coronation Street. He'd he'd also been in Coronation Street before he was in Coronation Street.
Haven't we all?
Yeah, it was a bit controversial at the time, a little bit. I don't really remember it, but he played in 2010. Joe played DS Max Carr in 22 episodes. He was in charge of the murder investigation for Joe, so he was like the one who thought that Gail had killed Joe for the insurance money or whatever. And he was in quite a few episodes for it. I don't remember him being in it at all. But apparently quite a few fans did, and they were complaining about the recasting. But Corrie's spokesman reassured them that Joe is a talented actor who brings something completely different to the role of Tim than he did in his previous role. I would hope so too, to be honest. Because
you would hope that a shiftless, layabout dad who didn't have custody of his child anymore would be a different character to policeman. But now I'm thinking about it, and probably there's a few the same.
Well, lots of people liked him now, but I think when he came into it, we weren't sure whether he was supposed to be likeable or not, because he was obviously a bit of a slob and a bit of a waste of space, but now that's the qualities of him we love, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, he is good. He's like Shrek.
Exactly like Shrek. 2002 then, so this is when he was going out with Jenny Butler.
This is before he was in the show.
In the show, of course, yeah, and she gave birth to baby Faye, but he walked out on her in 2004, walked out on Jenny, and she had to look after poor old Faye on her own because she was a drug addict, you see. And
Faye got taken into care, and then the Windasses adopted her in 2011.
Yes.
And as we all remember, this entire time, don't forget,
Tim can't read.
In 2013, Faye tracks him down online and he starts chatting to her. They eventually agree to meet in secret, but when Anna and Owen find out about it, they disapprove, but she continued to skive off and see him. I think when he was first introduced, we were supposed to think it was some kind of like...
stalker or something.
Paedophile.
Yeah, because I don't think at the very beginning the viewer... we're led to believe that it was her dad she was talking about. We
like
just saw
some
that
some kind of dodgy guy or some kind of mysterious paramour.
Yeah, but
no. It's never going to be anything good in Coronation Street, is it? Really?
It turned out it was Tim, and he was all right. But Anna and Owen obviously weren't happy with this because Anna had only when did she adopt Faye? 2011 or so. So she was just kind of getting used to being a mum and feeling accepted by Faye. And Owen was obviously a partner then back at the time, so they weren't happy that this real dad was now into the picture. And they tried to get Anna Faye to stop talking to him online, but she wouldn't. So Owen destroyed her laptop.
Of course he did.
What a temper that man had.
Tim gets a bit worried about this because you might be concerned if your daughter was living with people that destroyed her personal property.
Yes, you might do, actually. I think he roughed Tim up as well, didn't he? Didn't he like push him up against the wall or something?
Like an Owen
sounds
thing
like the sort
do.
Of thing he would do.
2000. Oh no.
Later that year.
Same year. He started working for Jason. And that was when the Rovers fire happened, and everybody blamed Jason's work that he'd done in there for the fire taking hold. And so the work dried up, and Owen got a contract to do the repairs instead of Jason. Then Tim moved into the corner shop flat, and Faye kept going around there because he was so close. And then he starts talking to her about the mum and what happened between them.
Yeah, we've got to see the relationship form a little bit more, didn't
we? And Anna gets annoyed and drags her home again.
Yeah, she like literally had to drag her out of the flat one time, didn't we? And Tim was, I think he was still like saying, no, Faye, you got to go. He wasn't like trying to lure Faye away on purpose from Anna, was he?
No.
He was trying to
He's quite a good-natured bloke, really, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, yeah. So Faye didn't obviously like this, and then she started to make up that Anna was hitting her. And then there's a police investigation that went on, and Anna, in the end, is like, look, this isn't working. You can go move in with Tim then, because obviously she was making
you
all
like
that
him
up.
That much, go and live with him then.
Yeah, but Tim, his parenting skills weren't really up to much, were they? You could tell that he'd never been a dad before.
He was more like a roommate than a father.
Yeah, they were just like stayed up watching films together and everything. Yeah, there were no like boundaries or rules and everything. So Faye thought it was pretty good, to be honest, but it wasn't particularly
not really good,
for her
good
upbringing. No.
Now Tim has to go to Newcastle for a job. And he thinks that Faye is staying with Anna, but she isn't. She's staying alone at his flat.
Yeah, she skyped alone. Skyped off, didn't she, on her own?
So Anna doesn't like this, so she gets Owen to rough him up to try to scare him out of town when he returns.
Yes. It wasn't Tim's fault, though, really, was it? Because he didn't see the handover between him and Anna, but, I mean, he probably would trust her.
Like,
he said, look, she's just across the road. Off you go. Go and see her.
It's not like he left her there because he was like, oh, she's a kid, she's old enough to look after herself, I don't see what the problem is.
No.
Leaving her alone for a week.
But at the time, Anna, I suppose, was almost trying to look for things that,
of course she was,
to dish in the dirt on
cow.
Tim. Yeah. So he later on that year started a relationship with Sally, which is he's probably grown to be the most beloved Coronation Street couple of the moment, isn't it? Everyone loves Tim and Sally together.
It's
a bit of a it's a bit of a Stan and Hilda kind of relationship where he's the slob and she's like, it is
a classic Corrie couple of.
She thinks she's better than she is, or she tries to better herself, but it never particularly works.
Yeah, it sounds like Jack and Vera as well.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, she's always like looking down on him. She didn't like the fact that he was just this beer swilling Neanderthal, and she desperately tried to change him.
But she does love
him. Can't change a man, can you?
She tries to change him, but it doesn't work. And he decides to stay in Weatherfield. Now, this starts like a plot whereby Sally and Tim get really horny at weddings.
Yes, this is a running joke now, isn't it? Because
it was
Carl and Stella's wedding. And Tim was supposed to be going to this wedding with Sally, but then he didn't turn up just because he was just such
didn't
a slacker, basically. Didn't she then have to go with Jenna, no.
I don't know.
Yeah.
No,
who
it's
was
that? Important.
Yeah, they have to go with Jenna or whoever instead.
But they make up on
yeah,
the sofa.
Yeah, Tim and Sally
which they,
Sally made
we
up
mean
on the
they
sofa.
They have sex with each other. It's disgusting. Then Tim worries that he is a bad dad when Faye starts bullying Simon with Grace. And if only he knew just how evil Simon was, perhaps he would have encouraged it. That's what I'm saying.
So that was it for 2013. I think he might have become a window cleaner at some point in that year.
At
so
some
I can't
point
remember.
He gets a job being a window cleaner.
Yeah, I don't think I can find out when it was.
So last year, this is when he gets punched by Maddie when she broke into Sally's house and he was asleep on the sofa, and he was ashamed to admit what happened, so he said it was some big guy that he attacked, and the truth didn't come out for quite a while.
Yeah, because this is before obviously Maddie and Sophie were going out, but it was hadn't Sophie take no she Maddie had taken Sophie's Sally's bag or something, and then Sophie tricked her to get it back, so she broke in, and Tim, it was quite funny because eventually kind of it came to light that Sophie knew what had happened, and they were kind of ribbing him about it, weren't it, and then he had to eventually admit what had happened. It was very funny. So this was a bit odd. So they later on in 2014, Tim and Sally kind of felt that their relationship wasn't going anywhere, and he packed his bags to leave, but they're soon back together again, and they even got engaged, but they were kind of feeling like they had to get engaged to prove that there is something there. But neither of them really wanted it. Sally didn't want to get married after all that stuff that went through with Kevin. Tim was a huge commitment phobe anyway. So we had that scene where he kind of publicly unproposed to her in the Rovers, which was a bit bizarre, particularly as less than a year later, what's been going on
now,
and they never really explained why the change of heart, I don't think.
So inconsistent. Terrible. Now, Kevin comes back, and Tim gets very wary of him, and it looks like there's going to be a rivalry and argument over Sally, but they turn out to become good friends, which I quite like that plot development.
I quite like as well, and it's not necessarily something you'd expect as well, would you? You'd think that they would become rivals and they'd hate each other, but
they kind of unite over how crazy Sally is, because Kevin still has to be involved in Sally's life, not just because of how close they live together, but also because of Sophie. So they're both like, this woman's crazy, but we're stuck with her.
Well, I think Sally was involved with the garage at some point as well. I don't know whether she still is, like, got a stake in it or whatever.
Yeah. Now, Tim had made a bunch of leaflets.
This is when his illiteracy storyline came around, isn't it?
Yeah, he had written Dirty Windows.
Dirty Widows.
Go on then.
That's the joke. Dirty Widows, ring this number. Satisfaction guaranteed. It didn't really make sense because he had like a proper leaflet maker make it, didn't he? But then the thing is, he couldn't read it to check that it was wrong. So he then...
But the thing is, he must have like said to the person, I'll just tell you what to write.
Yeah.
And then the person made a typo and somehow he's the illiterate one.
I know. So Tim goes handing them out, blissfully unaware that it looked like he was advertising some kind of brothel or something. And that was when it coincided with Sally having a sore throat, didn't it? And then somebody phoned up for this Dirty Widow, and Sally was there going,
Dirty Widow.
That was quite funny, but just the whole thing about Tim being illiterate, I mean, that's what last year got voted by us as the silliest storyline of the year last year, wasn't it? It came out of nowhere.
They started
trying to say, oh, when he had a newspaper, he was just pretending to read it. And when I'm at the in a restaurant at the menu, I just had the same thing. They're really trying to backpedal. And they had that when he was getting to know Faye on the internet, he actually had somebody typing for him. It was utterly ridiculous.
The more they said, the less it made sense.
I know, they're just like digging their hole even deeper, weren't they, really? But it did bring a bit of conflict with Anna, because she was one of the first people to find out, and then she agreed to give Tim reading lessons. Sally, of course, suspected that he was having an affair with her. And then the truth came out eventually anyway, and it was resolved fairly quickly, if I remember. And so he started going to proper lessons, and let's never speak of it again.
No, never mention it again.
I think he can read now somehow, because it's just fine. As simple as
that. It doesn't
take
long to learn to read English. It's simple language.
So, I don't know what they were thinking with that. I think the reason they haven't mentioned it so much is because they kind of realised that everyone thought it was a stupid storyline.
I mean, if they had been tackling illiteracy as sort of like, it doesn't mean you just can't read anything, there are degrees of it and people are afflicted in different ways, and you know, how dare you say that just because you're illiterate you can't read at all, you know, if they'd been trying to raise awareness about it in some way.
I think they were trying, but they just didn't. Spectacularly
no, they just
failed
threw it, just threw it at everybody and went, there you go, there's an issue, how'd you like that?
Yeah.
Huh?
A bit silly. So this year then, he expanded his window cleaning business. He took on Craig as an apprentice window cleaner. But the biggest... it depends whether the wedding, I suppose. The first big development for Tim in the year was he became a granddad this year when Faye had a baby. And I think everyone's really liked how Tim's reacted to being a granddad, because he's just like this super gooey, sweet kind of... loves this baby to bits kind of grandfather, isn't he? Much more than Faye actually does to her own daughter. He was gutted that Faye didn't bond with her at all, but he was kind of instrumental in Miley, the baby, going to live with the father's family in the end, because he kind of realised, look, this isn't working out for my daughter. And the Hodges, I think, can give her kind of a better life. So it's a sad but brave move by Tim there.
Well done, Tim.
Well done.
And then we end up with them getting married, Tim and Sally.
Out of nowhere.
Wanting to get married. Sally starts talking about Tim having no ambition, and because this is when Kevin starts developing his business a bit more, and she gets really jealous, sort of, and starts complaining that he's not going anywhere in life. And he thinks, I'm going to lose her, and he proposes. And she accepts. This is when he goes outside the factory with a big boombox.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Craig has the boombox.
A few weeks ago, wasn't it?
And they can't hear what he's saying. Oh, come on.
And now they're going to get married. But without Tim knowing it, Sally had a secret illicit snog with Kevin.
Oh, terrible. Mm. What's going to happen there?
Well, the wedding's going to be coming up soon. I'm surprised how it seems to be coming up very, very soon. I mean, I was expecting them to be getting married like at Christmas or next year, whatever. It seems to be a little bit rushed, but.
Well, they keep talking about, oh, you've got to pay your fair share. We've both got to pay money to have this wedding.
Yeah.
But
he's slacking off, isn't he?
He's a window cleaner. He can't earn a great amount of money, let's be fair. You don't earn a lot of money cleaning windows. I probably earn a bit more than he does, and I don't earn very much, and I couldn't afford to pay for a wedding in, like, from zero to let's get married in 3 months.
Well, I assume it's going to be some very low-key kind of thing.
I'd probably be able to afford one of those platters from Marks and Spencer's with assorted sandwiches, but it would only be the classic collection, not
Sally
like...
wouldn't go for that, though,
no,
would she?
No, wouldn't be able to afford any fancy little the luxury, buns or anything.
Smoked salmon or anything like that. So, there we go, and do you think the wedding's going to go through? Do you think they're going
to
end up...
I want them to get married. I really like them together.
I do as well. I mean, we are quite proponents of marriage, obviously, as we have got married ourselves, and...
I don't recommend it.
Why?
I like Sally and Tim together. It doesn't make any difference in Coronation Street as to whether that means they're going to stay together.
I think that Stuart Blackburn and everybody know that they've kind of struck gold with this coupling.
And the good thing about it is there's still a place for Kevin.
Exactly. I mean, he's going to end up finding himself back with, like, with Jenny later on or something later on. It's just such a good couple, and they're so rare to in Coronation Street.
Really,
quite
just
often
just
with the couples, it's like I don't like it, or yeah, they're okay.
They're both bland.
Yeah, but I mean, this is a perfect comedy relationship, just because of they kind of do go together because they Sally and Tim have got the same kind of sense of humour, but it's just like chalk and cheese as
and
well,
it
isn't
is,
it?
And Tim does manage to humanise Sally quite a bit, because she at times can turn into a bit of a Norris, really, and get really bitchy and unpleasant.
Mm.
But with Tim around, you kind of soften to her a bit more.
Mm. Yeah.
And
You're right, because when she was on her own, it was, yeah, she's just been...
She could be a bit shrewish.
Came off as a bit nasty. And I know, like, there was the things in the factory where she would sort of try and look down her nose at people, and then things might go flat on her face a bit, but... Yeah, it has. You're right. It softened her a bit, so he's good for her.
She was heading in like the direction the Gale was going in when she was being Mrs. Stupid Mop. Wasn't
yeah, well, exactly. She was actually a little bit, but yeah, come out much better than Gale, I'd have to say.
Yeah, Gale's still circling the drain.
yeah.
A little bit.
So long may it continue. Hopefully. Well, that will also be more successful than Gail and Michael's wedding. Because this time last year, we were all for Gail and Michael together.
Know.
And I think they still will get back together, because they seem to me to be the perfect couple.
They've soured it. They have really soured it.
And this whole thing with Sally kissing Kevin has soured it, because obviously the truth's going to come out at some point. And I kind of wish it hasn't, but you kind of know why it did happen, because it's a soap. But I would think that the relationship should be able to withstand this. You can almost imagine it coming out and Tim going to Kevin, yeah, she's hot, isn't she? She's fine.
Or something, yeah. Like, hey. I don't care.
It makes you wonder whether, like, when Sally's not there, whether Tim and Kevin discuss bedroom stories or anything
God.
Like that.
Hey, if you try this because she really likes it. Oh, disgusting.
You kind of think that she would do, wouldn't you?
No, don't want to think about it. Anyway, so read this quote out from...
Joe Duttine has said, "It's great being Tim. I came for 3 months and ended up staying for a bit longer. They just keep extending my contract." And on whether Sally was going to change Tim, he said, "I don't think it's going to happen. I think if she does change him and make him into what she wants him to be, you kind of lose the story and you lose the conflict between the two characters. It's more interesting if there's a little bit of a clash," which is
yes,
absolutely right. Can you imagine
right.
Tim kind of being like
a
Sally?
Businessman.
It just doesn't fit. The whole relationship works because he's so different. It's just like it's like keeping up appearances as well, isn't it? Sally's
a
the
bit Richard and
yeah, that he kind of puts up with her, and she's constantly trying to better herself and better him, but not
in
working
really,
at all.
In really petty ways.
Yeah, exactly.
That
no that's
one
it, isn't
cares
it?
About.
Like the put on your shirt or put a tie on or you
yeah,
know,
or like let's make sure we've got really nice hanging basket.
Yeah, but. It's hilarious, and I think they could be in it for a long time to come, because Sally's one of these golden characters that they're never going to get rid of.
I would have said.
So I mean, Joe must think he's in there.
He's got his feet under the table.
They would be crazy to split them up, really would.
Yeah.
Compared to when he came in and we were like, "Who's this guy? He doesn't seem that great." Don't know whether we're supposed to like him or not. Or whether he is just some kind of strange internet stalker.
Yeah.
And he's a terrible dad. And I've never been a father, but I'd do a much better job than he would be on Faye to what he is now, and it's kind of
Yeah.
it's brilliant, and it and the fact that he kind of loves Miley so much and those scenes
That
there, it
is
just kind of
adorable.
because he didn't get much of a chance to be a
Yeah,
dad
that's sad,
himself to
isn't
Faye
it?
when she was younger. So it's been
Aww.
lovely. More Tim and Sally.
Or the
Long
same
may they
amount is
continue.
fine. The same amount is fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, maybe the Websters can have more of a storyline when the Flats need to take a breather. Now this is
Maybe.
developing a bit more. Bring back Rosie and get them all in together, I say.
What is Tim's? Oh, Metcalf.
Metcalf, yeah.
Yeah, so they're going to be the Metcalfs. This see, it never works. Just keep the females' name because everybody thinks like the Platts and the.
I think, has Michelle done that? I don't think she's turned into Michelle McDonald. I think she made a bit of a thing about it, but I can't remember looking at the credits and
Oh
everything.
yeah.
Because she seems to be, she's a
She's
Michelle
like,
Connor
no,
Bloom.
the Connors are coming back, baby. I
The
don't want to
Connors are
come
going to
off this
take over the
gravy
world.
train. Yeah.
They're going to be the only family left in Coronation Street before
Like
long.
cockroaches. None of them are related to each other,
No.
seemingly.
So there we go. That is Tim. That's all we've got to say about him so far. So it's been short, but
But
nice,
sweet.
sweet time in Coronation Street. So well done. Now we haven't got any news today. Nothing really's happened.
Really?
Nothing. Yeah, nothing really came out of the Pride. I mean, there was the float and it
They
looked
had
nice and.
pride and they had a float. What was it called?
Oh, it said Devotion Street on the side, didn't it? And had a big TV. But yeah, there's not much to say about it because I wasn't there. Still no news about the Edinburgh Soap Festival.
And nothing about the live episode.
Apart from, well, there was that trailer that's released, isn't
Yeah,
there? Which is
but
a.
when is it going to be? We
Oh, yeah.
still
See,
don't
this is,
really
I'm
know.
still not sure because
You've
it's
just
supposed.
gone. You've
I'm
gone straight into
paranoid
Michael.
now.
You've gone straight into the cabin without even playing the music. It's
So there's
terrible.
no cabin. This is
This is just
this is character profile
editorial.
extra. They. I don't know whether ITV announced it was the 23rd, but there are a few news outlets that said a few weeks ago Corrie Live is going to be on the 23rd. But then Anthony Cotton was on this morning, the week before last, wasn't he? And he's like, oh, we haven't released the date yet, but it's going to be sometime in the week starting the 21st of September. I was like, you have released the date. But now on this trailer that ITV have released, which is completely spoiler free if there's anyone that I'm not sure about watching it. Again, it says this September, and the publicity now says the week starting the 21st of September. And I'm worried that with World Rugby World Cup or whatever going on, that it's not going to be on the Wednesday. And I've organised this school trip that I'm going on to coincide with the fact that I am going to come home on Wednesday night to watch this live episode. So I hope they announce it soon. And it better be the 23rd of September because we've got a lot riding on that. So fingers crossed. But anyway, as we said, no news.
There's
So
no news, so don't even listen to this
just
part.
commentary on possible potential news that could be coming.
Yeah,
So
so.
we'll go straight on to feedback, shall we?
Yeah.
Right, let's finish off with some feedback. This first bit at the beginning isn't particularly feedback, but it's to do with some things that people were putting on our Facebook page the other day. Because when I was changing things around on the new computer, I had to get all the old podcast files and put them all together on the new one. So I grouped them all together, and just for a laugh, I wanted to see how much time we spent on this lovely podcast since we started 3 years ago. So I put a little thing on Facebook asking people to guess, and we had a range of guesses. We had 325, 300, 350, 275, 237, 294, 250, and 350.
It only feels like 350.
So everyone was around the same mark, but I can exclusively reveal, unless you've already read it on Facebook, that we have recorded 248 hours of Conversation Street so far. So,
And that is about 10 days worth of non-stop talking.
yeah, exactly. Who's listened to it all since the
Which is
beginning?
kind of like sitting in with my nan, me, and my mum at Christmas. Is that how it feels?
Yeah, it's the
La
Christmas to
la
New Year
la la
stretch and a
la.
little bit more, isn't it?
Or
Christmas to Epiphany.
when Omar's trying to watch a film and me and Rachel are talking all the way through
Yeah,
it.
a bit like that. Well, T-Ball got the closest guess because she said 250, and she has listened to it all since the beginning,
She's
so
probably
you're
got a
counting it
tally
up in her
chart and she's just
head.
like scratching it in blood on the table going, No, why would they shut up?
She won't because she's emailed us. She enjoys it. This week, T-Ball says, I agree. Lots of plot holes in the Callum and Platt storyline. Nobody said soaps were logical. I can't understand why a frightened child story would be deemed lies and nobody could tell that another very frightened child's lies would be believed. Where are social services in all this?
Yes, where?
Two incidents with Max in a very short time, another minor hanging around with a known drug dealer. dealer. Child Protection Services should be all over this.
Lazy bums.
I think they've just probably got the plats blacklisted now, haven't they, after Callum. All this? she continues, I love Tony roughing up Callum in the ginnel. Callum really was scared with nobody else around to back him up. Not so tough now, eh?
Yeah.
Callum might be pointing the finger of doom at Tony at the end, but shaking and wheezing isn't really a threatening look, and I reckon Tony and his mates could wipe the floor with Callum and his little friends.
Yeah, that's
I was
right.
A bit disappointed that there was no follow-up to that this week. I was kind of, Callum, I guess, must be just nursing his wounds at the moment, and he's going to come back with full force maybe next week or something. I suppose even the Platts have got to have a little break sometime. She continues, I wonder if the police really can nab Callum for Jason's statement. Jason doesn't know for sure it was Callum's voice. He just thinks it was and didn't see him. It's a bit shaky. I suppose it's not watertight evidence, is it? And if they got this alibi from Bethany saying...
I wonder what you would be like in real life if you were in that situation. Would you fudge it and say that you were certain? It's really hard to know, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, especially...
Like, if watching it as a viewer, I'm like, Jason should just lie and say he knows he saw him.
Hmm.
But in real life...
The thing is, didn't... Because now Tony's gone and beaten up Callum.
Yeah.
Did Callum kind of admit to Tony, yes, I did do this to Jason? Okay. Because now, if that's the case, which I think possibly it is, Tony can now go back to Jason and say, he's admitted it, you need to tell the police that you definitely did see Callum.
Yeah, but I think Jason's the sort of bloke he wouldn't lie.
No, he's an honest chap, isn't he?
He's too stupid to lie.
The email goes on. Shane Ward seems okay, but I think he's still nervous and he's rushing the lines a bit too much. Nick and Carla are doomed. He's trying to rescue her and she's grasping for a life preserver and she's sinking. If they were going to be destined as a couple, it would have happened years ago when he first arrived. I think he likes to rescue women and Carla needs to stop picking up Leanne's cast-offs.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's all just this... We should have seen it coming years ago because it's just the same couples going round and round in a circle, isn't it? Those three and Peter. Everyone's been with everyone else at some point around there. They're the only ones that are left. At least it's all kept nicely together, though, among the four of them. And finally, Aidan and Robert stag-butting is just stupid, but it is interesting to watch. Tracy feeling more and more guilty the more she sees Carla sinking lower and lower into her guilt. Liz jumping to conclusions over a night with Lloyd is not like her.
No.
Yeah, well, we saw a bit more of Tracy's guilt this week, didn't we? And I think there is more to come.
Yep. Dave sent us a message and he tells us about Happy Valley. He says, thanks for letting us know about Happy Valley Series 2. Series 1 was fantastic. Another great Sarah Lancaster show is... Oh, I wasn't paying attention. Another great Sarah Lancaster show is Last Tango in Halifax. Is that a bit based on the... The singing clerk from the bank.
I do not know.
That's a joke. Of course it is. So many great British shows, and you're watching Big Brother. Big Brother, really?
It's Michael kind of my fault.
If you can hear this, send help.
No, I kind of get these traditions that when I start watching a TV show, I've got to watch it right to the end, especially if I did like it a lot, because I did used to love Big Brother, and it has got a bit worse. But we don't always watch the celebrity one, do we? We'll just watch the introduction tonight to see what's in it. But Gemma would happily not watch Big Brother ever again.
The only reason I tolerate your obsessions is because it's to my benefit that you're obsessed with me.
I know, I'll never let you go, Gemma.
So, yeah. he says, back to the street. I agree, they should keep making references to the past. I really enjoy them. Having said that, my favourite characters are relatively new. Tim and Craig both just keep getting better and better with every scene they're in.
I think... I can't see either of them being really, really classic characters.
I think...
They're popular ones at the moment, but...
I keep saying this, though, about couples. I said this about Michael and Gail, maybe. I think... Oh, I said this about Kylie and David, too.
Mm.
But I think Sally and Tim are a classic couple.
They have the potential to be, but it's really too early days.
In 10 years' time, we'll look back on this as a golden era of Sally and Tim.
I'd like to think so, because Coronation Street needs classic couples, like married
couples.
Because
they're in a mould of, you know, all the most famous couples they're... without being a total cookie-cutter copy of them.
Yeah, well, I think, like I said before, they're like Stan and Hilda a bit, which is kind of nice, because Sally, like, obviously used to lodge with Hilda, and it's, like, in her footsteps,
history
really.
History
I could not say that they're a classic character yet, because they haven't done enough. They need to have their own storyline. This thing, they've only had side storylines, really. Even this thing with them getting married, it's just a bit of a side storyline. But if they were to have something big like a Platt style storyline or whatever, with Sophie involved and Kevin and whatever, and a couple more like that, then I would say classic couple. And potential's there.
Dave continues, I've always liked Tyrone and Fizz, but I'm with Gemma on this one. A child cancer storyline, don't we get enough real life tragedy? I, for one, am hoping the storyline has a happy ending.
He was just hoping he's got an ending.
I feel so guilty about complaining about the storyline, Dave, because I feel like I'm belittling people that are really going through it in real life and like making fun of it. But I'm like in re like it's horrible and tragic. I don't want to watch it. That's why I don't, because I take it so seriously. It's horrible. I
Yeah,
don't
and
want to
we've
see
both
it.
got people in our families that have been affected by
It really
cancer,
upsets me.
as has most people.
I don't. I just. I know it's important for people. And you were saying earlier about cancer charity saying, oh, it's good that they, like are hailing them for talking about it. It makes me feel even more guilty because I just hate it so much.
When the news was announced, whenever it was 3 months ago, that they were going to do this storyline, I was a bit like, oh, it's too soon after Hayley, it's going to be a bit depressing.
But
Gemma's not going to like
now you're really
this.
enjoying it, is what you're trying to say.
I just like Fizz and Tyrone and Hope. I just wish that it wasn't quite such a tragic
I
circumstance that they
know.
had to go through. Couldn't it have been like Scylla finally succumbed to her osteoporosis or something? I
That's
don't
much
know.
better.
It'll be
See, this
interesting.
is my trouble, right? When I find things upsetting, I retreat into dark humour, which is totally inappropriate for a child cancer storyline. So I have to keep my mouth shut, and then I start feeling guilty for thinking things. So this is why I don't want to talk about it
It
anymore.
makes me wonder whether we're going to see any more of Scylla, because she was quite doting
Yeah,
over
she was,
Hope when she
wasn't
came
she?
over, and then Fizz and Hope went to live with her
Were they
for.
laying the ground?
So she's obviously got this bond with her now, and if she's now got cancer but she stays away, I mean, they're going to have to bring her back, aren't they? Unless Scylla dies, which I don't think is going to happen. Or maybe is Fizz and Hope going to go and stay with her again for a little bit, and we'll say that was. I don't know, it just seems like you can't really be separated from it because they're back on speaking terms again. It'll be interesting to see that, whether she does come back. Read the last bit of Dave's email, then I'll do the last one.
Dave says, I was reading it. Why'd you point
Sorry.
in?
Oh, sorry,
Dave
I was just
says,
helping.
I can read it myself. I've got a degree in English.
Okay.
Just because I fluffed out the first bit. Dave said, now I've built myself up. I'm going to do it
You've got to
wrong.
get this perfect.
Dave says, I like how they have taken two bad guys and put them against each other. I was hating Tony for what he did to Steve and Liz. However, now I find
There we
myself,
go.
shut up, rooting for him over Callum. Well done, Coronation Street. I agree with that.
Two
I
bad guys
enjoy
against
it.
each other, but I don't want Tony to be forgiven and like all be well, and Liz then start saying, "Oh yeah, Tony, you're my hero,"
But
because
he's
he.
been doing it in a very menacing way, and the way he was beating Callum up.
Yeah, I mean, he could grow to be the same, a kind of
Like
like
a
an Owen
gym.
figure,
Or a
couldn't
gym.
he? Or a Jim, where he beats people up, but generally he's a nice guy, just with a bit of a hot-headed temper, and let's just forget about quite how
Let's
nasty
just
he's been
brush it
in the
under the
past.
carpet a bit because he's got a charming
Because I've got a feeling they do want to keep this
personality.
character in. And when they brought him back last year, I thought he was just going to be in it for a little bit, but he seems to have legs. Let's finish off with Rebecca's messages. She said, in response about Shane Ward, I'm enjoying Aiden, however, hasn't had much to do yet. But with time and a better storyline, I think he can prove himself. Love Lloyd and Steve this week. Lloyd just pushes character of the week as he had more scenes and storyline time than Steve. I agree, Tony does want Liz back, and it's going to be interesting to see which way that storyline goes. Love the art storyline and love Kathy again this week. Also like seeing Emily again this week and also Billy. Yeah, they had their month's appearance, didn't they? I also think that Todd offering his kidney could be the end of Todd wanting revenge and could be like Tracy is now, cutting with his words when he needs to be, but also shows a caring side. I don't know whether I can ever sympathise with Todd again, and I obviously really, really sympathise with Tracy, but in the back of my head, I was like, I'm not going to trust Todd again. He's
That's because you're a sexist.
too nasty. I don't know whether it's because she's a
Because you're
lady, and
like,
it's like.
women can't hurt me. I'm a man. I'm not scared of Tracy, but Todd, I fear him.
I feel so bad for Tracy, but it's like I can't trust Todd.
I can't trust Todd because he's so evil. What's
Tracy's
trying
like
to think
almost a
about?
pantomimish, isn't she?
But Tracy doesn't screw over her family.
No, that's true. She was loyal to her family.
He's just a Judas, Todd, isn't he? He really is.
He seems to go out of his way to purposefully make people feel bad just for fun because he's got nothing better to do with his life because he's stuck in a dead end job. But Tracy
will do that as far as it goes to say, I'm going to snipe at you at the bar.
Yeah, like when she was going on to back to Karen, Baron Karen kind of thing.
Yeah, she'll make fun of people, but she won't sort of plot against them. And I don't know, maybe she does.
Not in the same way. She kind of plots against them so that she can kind of get something for herself and feel that she's got what she deserves. But Todd just seems to literally do it just to make people suffer.
Todd is the most villainous normal cast character, isn't he?
Mm.
I mean, is he top? He hasn't quite topped David in his horrible youth phase because he hasn't tried to kill anybody yet.
Yeah, I don't know whether I would have said back 10 years ago whether I could ever forgive David again, but he's turned into a.
Yeah, but you see, David was damaged by terrible situations.
And we still don't know what it is that's turned Todd like this. He went away
got
to
his
London.
Face cut.
Oh, yeah, but what's turned him from nice to nasty? He went to London, had this relationship with Jules, was it, or something, and then he came back and he's suddenly nasty. And I think we need this backstory for me to feel sympathy for him. What is it that's happened to him to turn
I
him into this?
I don't think they've got that in their heads. It'd be good if they did.
It's
really
something that they can pull out
easy.
The bag if they're
ever
wondering what to do with that family. What turned Todd
just
like
ask
this?
Just ask us, we've got loads of ideas.
Rebecca's got some ideas for what she would do if she was a producer. That's what we were talking about last week. I would bring the Sunday episode back and get rid of this new Thursday episode. And like Gemma said, get some good quality actors and actresses in.
I like all this agreement with me.
I know, you love it when people agree with you. Every time somebody says, I agree with Gemma, you have this little smile on your face, which the listeners can't tell, but it's there.
But most people just write in and say, you're wrong, Liaz, an angel.
As for spoilers, I would tone them down, but only give them out for the big storylines, like the court fire, the tram crash, or around Christmas. That way it's still exciting, but we'd bring viewers in for big episodes.
That's the trouble,
that
it?
Makes sense, but the way things are on Coronation Street at the moment, they literally just
can't
give away,
up,
they can't shut up about it, they give away everything. We were mad the other day because...
Yes.
During the adverts for Coronation Street, we don't usually watch it live, we usually watch it later and then watch the record and fast through the adverts. But then they had an advert for the Sun's TV guide with a massive spoiler for next week, this Tracy and Carla storyline in. It's like, we don't want to know
really,
this.
It really bugs me because it leads you to places that you don't...
And the thing is,
speculate about.
Literally, just before the break, there had been quite a cliffhanger. I can't remember which, but it was to do with Tracy and Carla. What's going to happen here? And now you kind of know. Well, I know what's going to happen next week now.
I
so
know, exactly.
For
I'm
the rest of the week,
this
cliffhanger that I've just been left with.
Irrelevant.
Yeah. So we got
to
figure out spoilers,
haven't
we?
It's difficult to do the podcast too.
Yeah.
With knowing certain things. And trying to be honest about what you're... And trying to also think to yourself, what would I think if I didn't know that?
Mm.
How would I have reacted?
Yeah, there's always so much...
This is a very difficult position.
So much that I kind of know is going to happen. And
I miss most of it.
You do miss most of it, because I like do the research for the news and
but
things.
But not just that, Michael, but when we go to the news agency or anything, you have to look at the soap magazines like it's some kind of horrible accident you can't draw your eyes away from.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, if we talk just about spoilers on the podcast, it just add a whole extra lot of stuff to talk about, wouldn't it? And I like the way we do it, even if we have to sometimes pretend we don't know things that we do know.
Yeah.
What? Callum's going to be in the live episode? I never knew that.
What do you mean?
Let's finish this message off. As for families, I like the idea of bringing in a family who has fallen on hard times from having a bit of money, and I'd also like to see a gay or lesbian couple with kids. Like you said, there'd be objections, but eventually people would accept them. As for getting rid of a family, probably the Windasses. Yes. But keep Faye to stop with... To start with Tim, as Michael... Oh, she agrees with me. To start with, as Michael said, and maybe even get rid of Maria and Liam, as that would free up some room.
Yeah, boot them out.
Yeah, get rid of... Honestly, not worth them being there. I mean, they're not really even a family, are they? It's just... does she?
How dare
is
you?
Is she living with Luke? I can't even remember.
Two people's a family.
Yeah, we can have somebody living at the top of the salon, can't we?
We're two people.
Oh, yeah. We are
they've got... They're two people and
yes,
a pet.
It's a mum and a son who doesn't do anything. No wonder she
just
goes
like Leanne and Simon, Michael, but no one, everyone loves them, don't they?
All right.
They don't even have a pet.
Let's
and I bet if they did,
call
it'd, be,
it a day
it'd
now.
Be a bloody goldfish, wouldn't it? It'd be boring.
this is the last Conversation Street for a week and
Forever.
A half, isn't it? Because
we're quitting.
No, we're not. Gemma's going on holiday for a week with her friends.
Bye, everybody.
I'm going back. I'm back to school this week. It's my first day back at school, and Gemma's swanning off to France again for a week with her friends, and I'm going to be staying at home, fending for myself somehow. You've got the freezer stocked up for me?
I put loads of food in the freezer, and now I'm starting to wonder if you're going to make it through the week, because you cooked dinner for us tonight and nearly killed me.
Yeah, I didn't cook the pork enough, and it was a little bit pink, wasn't it?
It was pork sashimi.
Yeah, I'm just going to cook things really, really, really well. I don't think I'm going to eat
You've got
week.
Beef bourguignon, chicken tikka masala, and pasta.
I can hopefully cope with that.
I made those for you.
Thank you, darling. So I'll be sitting at home not being able to watch Coronation Street for the next week and a half, desperately wanting to know what's happening because it's a good lead up to the live stuff.
I'll come back and go, oh, I watched it all when I was in France because I had so much free time.
So sad.
Because I'm on holiday and I can do what I like.
But next episode will be a week and a half's time. We probably won't do a middle
it's
section
gonna be really
cause it's
going
to be like nine episodes
because...
or something.
I'm also going to be doing an obstacle course.
I thought that was the weekend after.
No.
We'll fit it in when we can. We'll get it in. There's still going to be a couple more episodes before the live stuff.
You are right. It is the week afterwards.
There we go. Everything's okay. It'll probably be like Sunday, a week Sunday, our next episode. But we'll keep you posted on the email. On the internet, you know.
Every single one of our listeners, all 12 of them, we personally email them to let them know.
Yeah. Speaking of the live episode, don't forget this Periscope thing. We got a message from Christina this week, didn't we? She's downloaded Periscope just so she can hear our live reactions podcast on the 23rd of September, if indeed that is when it is.
Are we recording it on a phone?
Yeah, we have to. Periscope's on a phone. We have to use your phone because my phone camera's rubbish.
So if
Periscope is an app that's available on iOS and Android,
you
download
sign
it.
In with Twitter.
Yeah, you
got
to have Twitter, but you can get one for free. If you're interested in watching us, you've got a couple of weeks to get that sorted.
I'm nervous now.
You can watch Periscope online. I think there's like some third-party sites that kind of get the streams and show it, but it doesn't seem to be very easy to search through them, so I wouldn't necessarily rely on that. But if you want to do that,
what's going
to
happen
advice
if
about
we
that?
Can't?
Well, it all depends on whether I'm actually at home or at the school trip on the day of.
See, you moaning at me for going off on holiday.
I know, and I'm going
on
the most
holiday.
Pivotal day possibly. But I reckon even if I'm not here for Wednesday, I think it'd be quite fun just to do a live one on the Friday or something. We'll see. In the meantime, though, if you'd like to email us, conversationstreet@gmail.com is where you can get hold of us. Or you can leave a comment on our blog at conversationstreet.podbean.com. You can Skype us, leave us a message. You can tweet at us. You can Facebook us. We're at conversationstreet on Twitter and we're conversationstreet at Facebook. We're going to try and get this laptop problem sorted so that we can record on our new laptop properly. Because it's going
to
be another long, slow
we
editing
need to get
process
a
with us. Yes, we do
like
need
proper
to get
proper.
Yeah.
Now we're on episode
165. It's about time we actually used a microphone and not just the internal one on our laptop. That'll teach us, won't it?
Yes. What fools?
Next thing, we'll be getting a little padded studio and stuff.
You can just put polystyrene through the walls. Safi would love it.
Sorted.
She'd try to eat them.
She'd climb up it, wouldn't she? Anyway, that's enough of that. See you next time in a week and a half. Have a good early September.
Yeah, have a good break.
Bye, Gemma. Hope you have a nice holiday.
I will do.
While
Bye.
I'm back at school working.
Enjoy it.
The music for this episode came from podcastthemes.com.